We have a, we're honored to have Nancy Becker here, Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County, as a guest this morning. The second guest we're going to have in the second hour is Loman Henry. We're honored to have Nancy and Loman, these two individuals. Nancy locally has great stature, and of course Loman Henry on a Pennsylvania-wide scale has great stature. Susan came up with an apt and a much better description of these two individuals. She called them servant leaders. So here in Montgomery County in Pennsylvania and here in WFYL, we're really happy to have Nancy and Loman on the radio here this morning. So, Kim, do you want to further introduce Nancy, please?
Sure. Thank you, Al. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. And it is always indeed a pleasure to have Nancy Becker, Recorder of Deeds. She's been in her position since 2004. And Nancy is the instigator, and I mean that in a positive way, of the Veterans Photo ID program, which was started in 2012. Nancy, would you share with our listeners, take us back to that, how that program started, what the purpose of it is, and where it's at now?
I'd be glad to. In 2011, my grandson, who was in the Air Force at the time, was going to Afghanistan. And I said, John, what can I do for you? What can I, you know, send you? Please be careful. And he said, Grandma, I'm in the Air Force. I don't need anything. So he had my prayers, but that was it. After his tour duty was over, he asked to stay there because he really felt he was making a difference. And it was the first time in his service that he was actually exposed to all branches of the service. So he emailed me and said, Mom, I'm going to stay a little longer because I'm making a difference here. He said, but there's something you can do for me. So I expected tasty cakes, socks, send him something. He said, no, Grandma, do something for the veterans at home. Many of them are hurting. Well, that was in 2011. I was running for re-election and didn't feel it was the appropriate time to really start a program. People might think I was just doing it to get reelected, but God was good. I was reelected. In 2012, first thing, we started the program. And since then, we have photographed nearly 6,000 Montgomery County veterans. We have almost 500 Montgomery County businesses that give them the discount. And how the program works is the veteran is supposed to record his discharge, his DD-214, in the county where he lives. Most of them didn't because they didn't really feel it was a need. And I would go out to the VFWs and the American Legions and other veterans groups and talk about how it's important to do it, because when a veteran passes, the funeral director usually contacts the Recorder of Deeds first to see if that discharge is on record. And then the funeral director makes the arrangements for a military funeral and whatever benefits that that veteran might be entitled to. So this was a way of getting veterans to come in. Before we actually started the program, I went out and recruited as many businesses as I could. And it was wonderful because most of the time it was a yes right away. Sometimes it took 4 or 5 visits, but they knew I was going to keep coming back, so they did sign up for the program. So we have grocery stores, we have attorneys, we have security system people, we have restaurants, we have Boscoffs, we have some really wonderful businesses who said, yes, we really want to support our veterans. So the reason I'm here today is prior to this, the veteran had to come into Norristown to our office at 1 Montgomery Plaza and bring their DD-214 and a photo ID, and we would issue them a card. But through the generosity of some of the businesses, we were able to buy a whole new set of equipment that we could actually go out into the community, because many veterans really don't have the ability to get into Norristown. So we've started this program in May, and it has taken off. Actually, today when I leave here, we'll go to Representative Quigley's office in Royersford, and I'm sure we'll have a good number of veterans there. The first time we went out, it was at Marcy Topol's office, Representative Marcy Topol's office, and she said, we'll probably have about 25 veterans. Well, before we left, 85 veterans were issued a card.
That's great.
So the program is really taking off, and I'm really excited about it.
That's marvelous. It's heartening for us to hear government on a local level care about veterans, because Nancy, some of the news is that there's some abuse and neglect of veterans going on. What do you think the difference is on a local level, helping veterans versus other federal or state programs?
My opinion is that Nancy is the difference, a servant leader. Thank you, Nancy, for helping our veterans.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're welcome. And I think with the recent national news where the Veterans Administration really dropped the ball on caring for the veterans, has brought new light to how we have to take care of them. What I didn't realize, I knew when the Vietnam vets came home, they were shunned. They were treated very poorly. And so many of those veterans never came in to record their discharge. They were out. They didn't want anybody to know they served, because when people found out that they served, as I said, they were treated badly. But then what we found out was with the Korean conflict, it was the same thing. Those veterans went and fought. Some of them were injured. They put their lives on the line. And when they came home, nobody thanked them. Nobody made any indication that they had sacrificed for our freedoms, for the freedoms of the South Koreans. So it's just been very, it touches my heart every time I see a veteran. And they're all unique. I can tell you stories. There was a gentleman who was 100 years old. He was an Air Force colonel. And when I saw him, he was in full military uniform. Mm-hmm. And he had a walker. And he said, they make me use the walker here, but I don't really need it. So whenever anybody wasn't around, he was walking around without his walker. 100 years old. And he told me wonderful stories of his military life. And there are so many of those veterans out there. We had an occasion where a lady came in, and I happened to be out of the office that day, and my staff knew I would be so disappointed for not seeing her. So they took a special picture of her, and we actually have her picture framed in our veterans corner in the office. She was 97 at the time, and my staff said, oh, Nancy's going to be so upset that she missed you. So when I got back to the office the next day, there was an email from this lady saying, sorry I missed you, but thank you so much for the card. Well, this past Memorial Day, there was an event at the American Legion in Fort Washington, and I saw her. And I recognized her because I see her picture every day. She recognized me because she's an amazing woman. She's 99 years old. And when the veterans were asked to come up and be recognized, she got up and her daughter went to walk with her. And she said, I can do it on my own. And her daughter was a little bit nervous about this. So she was like, oh, you know, let me walk with you. And then a young Marine came up and he said, ma'am, may I help you? And she said, absolutely, put out her arm, and they walked down together. So there are so many stories of our veterans who, you know, they have touched my heart. And every time that happens, I go out and I start knocking on doors of these businesses and saying, please, please, please help our veterans. And it's good for the business, because we advertise their business free of charge, and all they have to do is the right thing, honor our veterans.
That's great. Wonderful. It's a win-win.
It absolutely is.
Well, how does a business get signed up? Can you tell us real quick?
Well, they can go on our website, and there is an application. They just fill it out. It's good for a year, but it does roll over. And they can do whatever. It could be a small discount for the veteran. It could be an incentive for them to come in. Some insurance companies can't give a discount, obviously, but they can give a gift card. So those things, anything that they can do to help our veterans, we are absolutely there. And we publicize the list on our website. Or they can just call our office at 610-278-3294.
All right, Nancy, we're going to pick that up again after this break. You're with Nancy Becker, Montgomery County Recorder of Deeds, here on WFYL, 1180 AM. It's a new day.
It's amazing how fast time is.
Are you at risk of identity theft? Yes. A new identity theft happens every 2 seconds. Does giving out your social security number increase risk? Yes. Putting personal information out there increases risk. If you forget your significant other's birthday, are you at risk of getting the silent treatment? Probably. No one likes having their birthday forgotten. But it won't increase the risk of identity theft. Unfortunately, things like shopping and breaches will. That's why LifeLock goes beyond free services that simply monitor credit, from detecting threats to helping resolve issues if your identity is ever compromised. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock has proprietary technology to detect threats and a dedicated resolution staff to help restore your good name. Is getting the silent treatment fun? No, but it's a walk in the park compared to having your identity stolen. Protection starts at $9.99 a month. For 10% off, go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. A quote from James Madison.
I could talk to the animals.
Hi, this is Jacques Schiller with co-host Diane Kaczynski of Pet Check. Heard here every Saturday on WFYL at noon. We interview keepers and caregivers of all kinds of critters, from dogs and cats to horses and llamas, as well as their trainers and suppliers. Tune in to hear fascinating interviews, stories about favorite pets, here on Pet Chat on 1180 WFYL.
Can you speak rhinoceros? I say of phosphorus.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
That's not far.
What are we going to do? Hike?
Sure.
Are we there yet?
Yep.
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Good morning and welcome back to It's a New Day here on WFYL, 1180 AM. We're so happy to have you with us. And we are in the studio here with Nancy Becker, Montgomery County's Recorder of Deeds this morning. Nancy, we're so happy to have you with us. It's been wonderful hearing about this program, the mobile program for the veterans.
Thank you so very much for having me. We really do appreciate it.
Well, Susan, shall we pick up where we left off with Nancy when you start to get into more detail about how businesses participate? And a lot of business people are very busy, Nancy. Is this an involved process for them?
Absolutely not. Once they fill out the application, we send them actually a yellow plaque and a decal that they can put on their storefront window. In fact, yesterday I went out to lunch with my good friend Judge Kelly Wall, and we went to the diner in Norristown. And as I was checking out, the lady said, "Oh, you're Miss Nancy." And I went, "Yes." And she said, "We participate in your veterans program, and it's been wonderful for us. A lot of veterans come in, and there's a veterans group that comes in once a month, and we created something for them called the Veterans Omelette. And they have their meetings here, and it's been a real boom to our business." So it made me feel really good that the business was thriving, or getting more business because of the program. And, of course, the veterans were getting the benefit of a small discount from the diner in Norristown. And she was such a lovely lady. I came back to the office and I was like telling the office staff, and I said, oh yeah, their food's really good there. And it was the first time I had ever been, but it was a really good experience.
Well, that's wonderful. That's what it's all about.
It really helps to build community spirit.
Absolutely. So there's another story I'd like to share. Sean Holborn, who's our director of Veterans Affairs for Montgomery County, emailed me last week that a veteran had actually contacted him. It was a veteran who we had photographed, and we have them fill out a form, and they can check if they want Veterans Affairs to contact them. As I said, many of these veterans have been hesitant about reaching out. So Sean told me that he contacted this gentleman who had recently been diagnosed with cancer. And being diagnosed with cancer is tragic enough, but this gentleman didn't know how he was going to pay for his treatment. He didn't know how to go about it. And Sean, who understood, you know, some of the effects of things like Agent Orange, really picked up on this cancer is probably attributed to this man's service in Vietnam and Agent Orange. So he contacted him. He walked him through all the programs. And the real blessing is the man is getting treatment. It is now early enough that that cancer can be eradicated. And it was because he came in for a small discount or some discounts from some merchants, ended up getting an advocate to go out to the Veterans Administration with him to make sure he had the proper treatment, to fill out the paperwork, to make sure it was covered. This cancer was because he served our country. And so Sean told me that he's doing very well. He was uplifted that he was able to help him. And needless to say, I was just delighted that our program brought the two of them together. And with God's blessing, this man will be good.
Well, that's great. That makes all the hard work. That's what it's all about. Makes it worth it.
It absolutely makes it worth
it. Nancy, are there programs like this across the country?
Actually, now there are. We started it here. And because I belong to a number of national organizations, I have spread the word wherever I could. Whenever I go to a conference and there are people from other states, I talk about it. So because of it, the National Association of Recorders and Election Officials actually gave me an award for a program that improved public records. And of course, we are improving the public records because we're getting those veterans' discharges recorded. And through that, I've had calls from at least 9 different states where they've started the program. And then after they start it, I get the calls from the recorders because they have stories to share about how wonderful it is. And here in Pennsylvania, we in the Southeast are very blessed because most of the counties do. Chester County does, Delaware County does, Berks, Lancaster, York. So many of the counties and Bucks. Bucks County has an amazing program. Joe Saffron, who's the recorder there, has taken it to new limits. In fact, he is probably the most aggressive of all of us recorders with his program. He has over 1,000 businesses. And it has blossomed, and I continue to send emails and try to encourage other recorders to do this because this should be done nationally. All recorders are responsible for recording the veterans' discharges. It's something that prior to the program in our office, we maybe would get 90 veterans a year, and to have nearly 6,000 veterans since 2012, it just really it helps complete the record. In Montgomery County, we actually have veterans' discharges dating back to the Spanish-American War and the Civil War.
Wow. Oh my.
And And those historic records actually are online because the veterans' discharge are sealed documents until the veteran has passed, and 75 years after that, they become public. So all those veterans' discharges from the Spanish-American War and the Civil War are on record, and people can, you know, check it out. They could see how their see if their if one of their relatives actually had served. So we're delighted to be able to make that public. But because the veteran discharges has a lot of private information, those things are sealed, and so the veteran should not fear that recording them is going to make their private information public. It is sealed, and only administrative staff in our office have access to it. Not even my entire staff have access to it.
That's very important to know.
Especially in this time when you talk about, you know, people's private information being public and with fraud and everything else.
Terrible, yes.
We do keep all that information secure.
Are there other services and programs, Nancy, that are available that you think a lot of veterans don't know about and need to be reminded of?
I think there are. There are programs that the government puts out, and they're amazing programs. And one of them was a few years ago where the veteran's spouse actually was entitled to some benefits. And we came across this, and we put it in our newsletter for veterans to find out about it. So the government does some wonderful things, but they're not always good about talking about the wonderful things they're doing for veterans. So whenever we find something new, a new benefit or something that people don't know about, we do try to put it in our newsletter. We have a special newsletter just for veterans because there's enough information to put in that will just be appropriate for the veterans. And so when a veteran comes in, they get the newsletter, they get a list of all the businesses. They also get a list of services. Our Veterans Affairs Department now has a van so that veterans who can't get to Coatesville or Philadelphia for treatment will have the opportunity to take a van and get that treatment that they so deserve and so need.
We'll hear some more about this after the break. Nancy, we're so happy to be able to hear you share about this and get the word out to the community. So stay with us after the break. We will be right back.
Thank you.
That's a great line.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Stocks in China down again, but U.S. futures are way up, with investors looking to buy after yesterday's big sell-off. Katie Stallard with Sky News in Beijing.
There is a degree of mistrust, frankly, across global markets as to the figures that come out of Chinese official sources, that everyone's trying to gauge how is the Chinese economy really doing. So when you see the Chinese stock market plummeting, that is seen as a barometer of middle-class China, and that suggests that there has perhaps less optimism here about the direction the Chinese economy is growing.
China cutting interest rates today, trying to jumpstart its economy. Tropical storm Erica is heading toward the Leeward Islands, then the Bahamas.
Much too early to determine whether Erica is going to have any impacts on the United States. There's a lot of uncertainty out in the track and the strength of the storm as we get into the weekend.
Michael Brennan with the National Hurricane Center. Fox News, we report. Unicide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 talents warns us that not investing the master's talents because of fear is wrong. Doing nothing can be a sin.
So what are the consequences of doing nothing?
In this parable, the first thing we see is that the Lord is not pleased. The one talent is taken away and given to the one that has 10 talents. Finally, the unprofitable servant is cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow, that sounds harsh.
It certainly does. Now, none of us is a perfect steward, but if you feel like you are just coasting along and it's time to make some changes, please call our office at 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. America is having its eyes open to the evil of abortion thanks to the undercover investigation of Planned Parenthood and the gruesome things it does in exchange for money. But even so, there are still people and politicians willing to defend this dastardly organization, which is responsible for the deaths of millions upon millions of unborn children, and, as we have been finding out, the sale of their body parts for apparent profit. Please join us in praying that these recent revelations will truly awaken the hard-hearted among us to the truths of abortion and the value of every human life created in the image of God, and help support ministries that fight for the sanctity of life, whether here at Pennsylvania Family Institute or at your local pregnancy care center.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. We're so happy that you're here with us this morning. This is Susan Locke. I'm in the studio with Kim Kennedy, Al Locke, and our very special guest, Montgomery County's Recorder of Deeds, Nancy Becker. It's an honor to have you here with us. Nancy, it's always a joy. And Nancy has been a frequent visitor to the station and has shared a lot of the information about the wonderful work being done in her office. Nancy's been named one of the top 5 Recorders of Deeds in the United States. So we're really blessed to have her here. And she's sharing with us this morning about this special program for the veterans. You hear about it a lot on our station, but now it's gone mobile so that it's easier for them to have access to the program. Nancy, please continue.
Yes, prior to this, the veteran had to come into our office at 1 Montgomery Plaza, and the commissioners have allowed us to let the veterans park free under our building. So if they do come into Norristown, they can have access to the parking garage under the building, and the access is on Penn Street or Cherry Street. Because parking is interesting in Norristown, and no veteran has to deal with that. We will let them park for free. The other thing I wanted to talk about is our Veterans Affairs Department. Sean, who has taken over as the director, has done amazing things. He hired someone as a homeless outreach person, and she has been going around and helping veterans find homes. She is a veteran herself, and this lady has an amazing story. She was a professor at Temple University, and for some reason, she ended up homeless. She lost her job, and so she was homeless for a period of time. She then, got herself together and now is working at our Veterans Affairs. Now, she could have gone back to Temple and continued her teaching and been paid a lot more than what the county's paying her. But she felt that she had a mission to go out to help veterans who were homeless. She could identify with them. And that's one thing with veterans. They really have this feeling of community spirit amongst themselves. So having a veteran talk about her experiences and helping them so that they can find a safe home and help them find jobs is very, very important. And John saw that this was a need. And as I said, this lady goes out into the community and she is helping veterans because they can identify with her, who was a homeless vet and now is an outreach officer for our county. So if you have any information that you need from our Veterans Affairs Office, their phone number is 610-278-3285. Now, back to my program, where we're absolutely able to take our, quote, show on the road to the community so that the veterans don't have to come into Norristown. Later today, we'll be at Representative Quigley's office, and he's located in Royersford. And he has his office all set up for us, and we thank Representative Quigley for his generous thoughts and his caring for our veterans. I mentioned Representative Marcy Topol, who we were in her office in May. Senator Mensch and Representative Justin Simmons, we were in their office in July. And we're really going all over. On September 10th, we'll be in Willow Grove at the landing of Willow Grove. On September 15th, we'll be in Pottstown at the Pottstown Senior Center. I have to tell you, the Montgomery County Senior Centers have really embraced this, and we're scheduled at about all of them between now and the end of October. We'll be at the Norristown SAC on September 24th, and the Peak Center of Lansdale, which is temporarily located at Schwenkfeld Manor, will be there on September 30th. So we'll be photographing the veterans who live at Schwenkfeld Manor, and then we'll be photographing the veterans that belong to the Peak Center on September 30th. On October 1st, we will be at Representative Warren Camp's office in Phoenixville. Then Representative Kate Harper has had a Veterans Expo at the Community College for a number of years now. And this year, it's going to be bigger and better than ever. We've had Representative Meehan from Congress come and talk to the veterans. And this year, the other legislators all wanted to get into it with her. So Representative Topol will be there. Representative Todd Stevens will be there. Senator Mensch will be there. So that we'll have the veterans have the opportunity to talk to their state representatives because they don't always feel comfortable to go to their office. So here at the community college, it's neutral territory. They'll all be there, and it'll be an amazing event. And that's on October 2nd at Montgomery County Community College. On October 3rd, we'll be at Salem Baptist Church in Jenkintown. And I'm really excited about going there because Rosetta Schaefer, who is the person who is in charge of it, she was so excited about us coming and wanted to do it on a Saturday because she said often veterans are working and they can't come out during the week. So we're doing it on a Saturday. The next Saturday we're doing it is the following Saturday at Neshaminy Falls. This is a community of mostly seniors that live in, it's Montgomery Township, but their address is North Wales. On October 13th, we'll be at the Ambler Senior Center. On October 16th, at Generations in Souderton. We're excited about this one, too, because so many of the veterans live up in the Indian Valley, so this is a good one. October 19th, we'll be at Elm Terrace Gardens in Lansdale. And October 21st, we'll be at Encore Experiences in Harleysville. Then we go off on the 29th of October to the Klein Life Center in Elkins Park. And on November 7th, Senator Mensch is having a breakfast in at the Upper Pocono High School in Pennsburg. And both Montgomery County and Bucks County will be there to issue the photo IDs to the veterans. So as you can see, we are all over the county.
That's fantastic.
And
it really is.
These appointments have been set up so quickly that my staff says, you know,
your heads must be spinning.
They are. They really are. And I have an amazing staff, and folks have volunteered to help me, because it's something that it does take at least two of us. And so we have a group of ladies and gentlemen from the office that are volunteering to help us as we take our show on the road, so to speak.
Isn't it exciting to see how from one idea, your grandson's idea, his request, and that idea, how a program can just grow like this? It's
right.
So needed and so timely and really, really a wonderful service to the community.
It absolutely is. And God is good. He is now home. He served 7 years in the Air Force, but he's now safely home. And I get to see him every now and again because he's very busy. But it's just been a wonderful experience for me. I feel that I'm giving back to the community. You know, I'm the recorder of deeds. You know, I record land records. Nobody seems to know what the recorder of deeds does. However, what I found out when I first was elected, that if it wasn't for recorder of deeds throughout this great nation, capitalism would fail, because most small businesses are started when someone takes a loan on their home.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has enabled entrepreneurs to start businesses. It has enabled people that have an idea to actually implement it and start a small business. We all know that our country really is run by the small businesses, and the small businesses are the ones that are really driving our economy. Of course, the large businesses is what everybody hears about, but there are so many small businesses where people have put their life work into it, and their family businesses, which is wonderful to see an entire family work together to, you know, have a business and not only have it financially support them, but giving them jobs and creating jobs for the local communities. So that's what the Recorder of Deeds does. And I feel it's a very important job, which is why I'm running for re-election.
Well, Nancy, we want to get started on, in the next segment, we want to talk about an issue that I know is very concerning to you, and we want to address the situation of the MERS. And if could you just give us a very brief introduction to that, and we'll explore it more in the next segment.
Yes, and we noticed back in, I guess, 2009 and 10, that a lot of people were facing foreclosure. We investigated and found out it was because the chain of title for many of these properties was broken. Back in early 2000, late 1999, 2000, MERS came about, the Mortgage Electronic Registry System. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute.
Yes.
Hold that thought. We will be right back after this break. We'll hear more about MERS, what Nancy is doing about this situation to help all of us in the community here. And welcome back to It's a New Day here on 1180 WFYL. We're so happy to have you with us this morning. I'm Susan Locke. Kim Kennedy is with me. Al Locke is in the studio. And our special guest right now is Nancy Becker, Montgomery County's Recorder of Deeds. Nancy, you were just beginning to explain MERS to us, but before we do, I'd just like to go back because you were talking about this great mobile program for the veterans. But could you just go over the website once again, because this is a very ambitious and marvelous schedule you have set up for the next couple of months. And how can they see this schedule? Can they go online and see it?
Yes, we're going to be posting it online. They can just call our office, 610-278-3294, and our staff will be more than happy to share the information with us. Our website is www.montcopa.org/ROD. But a lot of veterans don't have access to a computer. So the phone number is very important, 610-278-3294. Thank you.
All right. Well, Nancy, this is a very important issue that you're starting to talk about. It. The public needs to know about it. And would you pick up where you left off?
Sure. What happened in the late 90s, early 2000s, they felt that it was very busy. If you remember, people were buying and selling houses. It was a frenzy. And some of the recorders could not keep up with the records. So they came up with this national program called the Mortgage Electronic Registry System, MERS, where these mortgages could be recorded nationally. Unfortunately, it was a good idea. Unfortunately, the implementation was not very good. And so what happened through the years, the chain of title for these mortgages were lost. You know, somebody went to Wells Fargo, got a loan, and it was sold, and it was sold, and it was sold. They get, you know, a coupon book or they're told to send a payment to a post office box. They're really not sure who holds, you know, their mortgage at this point. So with this chain of title being broken, we felt we had to do something. First of all, the counties were losing fees for recording, but the fees weren't the most important thing. The most important thing was the chain of title was broken, so that if a person wanted to find out who was currently holding their mortgage, it was difficult for them to do it. So in 2011, we really started investigating and decided to sue MERS. It was a class action lawsuit that we felt was important to bring, first of all, attention to this problem, because the whole idea of land records and how they have been kept for hundreds of years in our great country was being challenged by this chain of title being broken. So we sued. Judge Joyner had ruled in our favor, claiming that the land records were truly very important and they should be recorded in the recorder's office, in the county office, not some national office. Pennsylvania statute clearly says that these records shall be recorded. Well, in June, we went before the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, and unfortunately the three jurors on that panel did not interpret that shall meant that you should. They determined that shall meant that you may, and it was not necessary. So there were all kinds of headlines about how, you know, we got, you know, I lost the case. Well, I didn't feel I lost the case. It was three people who had determined that shall did not mean should. So just last week, we filed a motion for re-argument in blank, meaning that we are asking the entire Third Circuit of Court of Appeals to consider the decision made by the three-judge panel. Because by their opinion that it was not necessary, they actually expanded it from mortgages to everything. And there has never been a ruling or a requirement to record deeds, but mortgages were identified by the legislator as shall be recorded in the county office, because the only way that when property transfers from one individual to another, to know that it's free and clear, is to check through the county offices to make sure that there is not a lien which would be checked in the prothonotary's office, or a mortgage or a line of credit from the recorder of deeds office.
Do you feel that information is incomplete as it stands now for Montgomery County?
It's incomplete because many of these mortgage assignments have not been recorded in our office. Thousands and thousands have not been recorded. And one of the reasons that before we sued, there was a young couple from Pottstown. I'll never forget them. She was like 9 months pregnant. They came in. They had a letter saying that their house was going into foreclosure. Her husband had all of his canceled checks. Her mother came with them saying something had to be done. We looked at the letter, and they had 2 days to do something. Luckily, there was an attorney in the office who the same thing had happened to, and he knew exactly what to do. So we found an attorney that was actually located in the building that was able to see them quickly and stop the foreclosure. So they paid an attorney to help them. But if it would have gone into foreclosure, they would have had to get an attorney. It would have cost them thousands of dollars to save their home. And we didn't want that to happen. So this is why the class action suit started, was to protect the residents in Montgomery County. Every day we get a call from someone saying, I'm going to settlement Wednesday. And they say there is a mortgage outstanding on my home. And we look, and the mortgage appears to be outstanding, but that mortgage was transferred and transferred and transferred. And then we'll look and see that there's a satisfaction recorded from the last holder of that mortgage. But that chain from the first time the person took out the loan to the satisfaction was broken. Mm. And so it's hurting people, mm-hmm. Especially seniors. A lot of seniors are downsizing. They're trying to go into senior housing or retirement communities, and they don't need to be helped. First of all, to make that decision to leave their home that they've lived in for decades is a difficult one, and to have things so difficult saying you can't sell your house, you still have this mortgage outstanding where they've paid it off years ago. So we feel that I told our attorneys, I said, if you don't file an appeal, I'll find somebody who will. Luckily our attorneys had, you know, they were working on it, and we are very hopeful that the entire panel from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals will rule in our favor, saying, yes, these records have to be recorded in a county office so that they are accessible to the general public, and so everybody will know who holds the mortgage on every property here in Montgomery County and throughout the Commonwealth.
Yes, no arguments there. That should be public information. Thank you, Nancy, for taking up the banner on so many worthy causes. We really do appreciate all that you do, and we're thankful for your hard work. So please keep us posted. We know you'll be back to share updated information.
Absolutely. And it's not really hard work for me. It's something I truly enjoy doing. I'm energized every day.
We appreciate your servant leadership. We really do, Nancy. Thank you for all you're doing for the community. It's a real joy to have you here with us today. And
before me, and in my heart, I know that this good day.
Good morning, and welcome back to It's a New Day. Kim Kennedy here with Elle and Susan Locke. Glad you're here with us visiting. We're having an excellent morning. We had Nancy Becker, Montgomery County Recorder of Deeds. And now it's our great privilege to welcome Loman Henry, Chairman, CEO of the Lincoln Institute. Lohman, welcome.
Good morning, Kim. Good to be here.
We're very, very glad to have you with us. And we were talking a little bit about the history of the Lincoln Institute and how it started on a napkin. Do you care to repeat that?
Yeah, sometimes things start out in a strange way. It was back in 1992, there was a gentleman who ran the King of Prussia Chamber of Commerce for many years, Al Paschal. And probably many of your listeners would remember Al because he was very prominent in the community here. Al was a good friend of mine, and we had gotten together. I had run for state treasurer. It had ended not well. And we were sitting and talking about what to do next. And we're talking about forming an organization. And, you know, there are a lot of groups that go out and do public policy research. Here in Pennsylvania, we have the Commonwealth mm-hmm. Foundation, the Pennsylvania Family Institute, many others that do an enormous amount of policy research, and they do a great job of it. Mm-hmm. So we weren't wanting to
repeat
or step on anybody's toes. I had worked for State Senator Earl Baker, who represented Chester County for a number of years in the Senate. And one thing I noticed with the senators and all elected officials was that if a poll came over their desk, that made it to the top of the stack, and they read. There was never a poll that showed up on an elected official's desk that they didn't read. A lot of times the policy papers maybe got pushed off to the side, but they always read a poll. So Al and I decided that we should have an organization where we did polling on issues so that we could talk about the issues that were important to conservatives and to pro-growth economic conservatives and that would actually have an impact. So we started the Lincoln Institute as a polling organization. Well, as the first couple of years went by, we found that whenever we released a poll, we would get all sorts of calls from radio stations from around the state. And there seemed to be a hunger for state-level news and information by radio stations. You know, there are a lot of national sort of programs and a lot of nationally syndicated programs. There's national news everywhere. And newspapers, et cetera, do a good job of covering the local level, but there wasn't a lot statewide. So we started a half-hour radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. And it started out on four or five radio stations. We now have it up to 91, 20 years later.
That's great.
And a few years ago, we started a nationally syndicated radio program, American Radio Journal. We have over 200. So the radio shows have become the bigger part of our business. But it all started out with us sketching out the business plan on that napkin on a restaurant somewhere in Delaware County. I don't even remember which restaurant anymore.
And that's great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, from reading about the Lincoln Institute, I really appreciate the perspective that you saw jobs and money leaving Pennsylvania that shouldn't be, and you saw that the small business person, the taxpayer who was bearing the brunt of a lot of the entitlement programs, etc., were really taking a walloping, and it seems like that was the impetus behind a lot of what you're doing.
It really was, Kim. Governor Casey, Robert P. Casey Sr., had passed what at the time was the largest tax increase in state history. And the impact of that on business was profound. We saw more and more businesses were leaving the state, and businesses were not growing here. And we decided that we needed an organization that would promote pro-growth economic policies. And of course, there are all sorts of business groups. But business groups sometimes get viewed as a special interest. And we thought, well, we can do this from a nonprofit perspective. So that has really been our focus. Now, on occasion, with especially our national program, we'll get into foreign affairs sometimes because what happens in other countries does affect what occurs in Pennsylvania business. And we'll get into social issues, you know, because one thing that we believe in very strongly is that you have to have strong, healthy families in order to have economic success and progress.
Absolutely.
You know, if you look at the statistics, if somebody comes from a home with strong parents, with a mother and father, they go to high school, they graduate, whether they go to college or not, has an impact as well. But if they in fact get that high school degree and then get a job and then get married and then have children, and they follow in that order, their success rate goes way up. Mm. Now, as we know, the way things have gone with society lately, that's not necessarily the norm anymore. But if you have folks who have had, you know, children in their teen years, out of wedlock, have not gotten a high school degree, their chances of economic success aren't good. So the social issues do have an impact on the economic issues as well.
Yes, and not many people are drawing that correlation because they want to be politically correct. And we commend you for speaking truth, regardless of whether it's in fashion or not. The facts are what they are. You bring reality to the table.
They are what they are. I hate political correctness. As a matter of fact, we sort of go out of our way to not be.
That's good.
We like to refer to ourselves as equal opportunity offenders. You know, we'll take on Republicans or Democrats. It doesn't matter. You know, the issues are what the issues are. There's a great new book out called The Conservative Heart, written by the president of the American Enterprise Institute. And I would strongly recommend that to your listeners, because in that book, it talks about how conservatism really is the way to helping people. You know, as conservatives, we're often viewed as as heartless, mm-hmm. as more concerned with the bottom line than necessarily people. But in that book, it really does explain how, you know, conservative economic policies provide the money that funds the social safety net that helps lift people up.
Well, you know, it's funny, Loman, because you describe how what you saw taking place in the Capitol were groups coming with their hand out, and they were represented, and they had the cameras and the microphones in front of them. But you saw that the people who were being asked to pay for all these special interests couldn't make it because they were busy working to pay all
preparing
these
the tax forms and paying the taxes.
The people who were paying the taxes couldn't come to the Capitol and have their voice heard because they were well working. Now, of course, we still have the same situation, and you will see this play out more and more, I think, even over the coming weeks as this budget stalemate continues. Mm. The spending interests will rally in Harrisburg. But now, it's a different world, because keep in mind, when we started this back in 1992, 93, there wasn't email, there wasn't the internet, there weren't cell phones. I mean, if you had a mobile phone, it was a big bulky thing attached to your car. But now we have the means of communication that we didn't have then. So, and we've throughout the years changed with that. I mean, we now have websites and Facebook pages, and we communicate with a lot of people via Facebook and Twitter. Mm. And it's hard for some of us to do that in 150 characters, but we try. But, yeah, it's really important that we speak out. And more, as I've watched over the last two decades, the conservative movement in Pennsylvania has really grown. Mm. We have built an infrastructure of organizations, of individuals, media, such as this radio station. We have stations all over the state. We have talk show hosts who are part of it. And there now is a conservative media that can get the message out. We're not dependent on the left-wing media anymore.
We're so happy to we're so happy to have your program on Monday mornings here on WFYL from 7 to 8. And really appreciate the group of people you've put together to give reports every week.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate your caring. And that was what we wanted to do with the program. Was that we would have local stations, and of course, obviously, except for Sirius XM, everything is local. We wanted local stations all around the state to have a product where we did talk about state-level news. Mm-hmm. And it's not really available, aside from NPR, National
Public
Radio.
That's right. It's very mysterious. It's very hard to find.
Yeah. And we didn't want NPR to be the only source, because right. It's very biased in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
And, you know, obviously, we make no bones about the fact that we are a conservative, pro-growth, right. pro-family operation. That's what right. we are. But we also try to not just throw out talking points. Folks who listen to our show know that we get into the issues and we explain why. And if we're against something, we offer an alternative. A lot of times the other side will say, well, all you conservatives do is say no. We're not saying no. We're saying this is wrong and this is how to do it right.
And giving possibilities and mm-hmm. opportunities and solutions.
Yep.
You have the Pennsylvania Manufacturing Association on. You mm-hmm. have Americans for Prosperity. What are...
Commonwealth Foundation. National Federation of Independent Business. Our friends at the Allegheny Institute in Pittsburgh, right. Which is a regional think tank in western Pennsylvania. They provide a lot of information to us. And we also have the Pennsylvania Association of Nonprofit Organizations, right. Which we had a founding board member, Skip Houston from the Houston Foundation, sort of started PANO, rejuvenated PANO at the same time as we started the Lincoln Institute. Mm-hmm. And we've, as a result of that, we've put the spotlight on nonprofit organizations the entire time we've done the show.
So you have a great group of people working together, yes, to get this information out to the public.
Yes, I'm really pleased with the quality of folks who come on the show. Mm-hmm. And they're really the ones that carry it. And on our national show as well, we have Andy Roth from the Club for Growth down in Washington, mm-hmm, who keeps an eye on things. We have Eric Baim from Watchdog.org. Mm-hmm. Watchdog.org has reporters in state capitals in, I think, 26 or 27 state capitals around the country.
That's great.
So we get a lot of really innovative information from these folks.
It's always very informative.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, Loman, it seems like you're representing the, can't talk this morning, representing the efforts of those who promote the value of work. And our country is at a point in its history where that needs to be explained and talked about. I guess we can visit that some more in the next segment.
Sounds good.
All right.
Very good. We really thank you. You're listening to Loman Henry. And we will be right back after this break. Thank you for being with us.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice, sing a song of praise on this good day.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
An English astronomer, he became world-renowned for his discovery of the planet Uranus. He was noted for his recognition of double stars. Using the technology of the late 18th century, he constructed the greatest reflecting telescopes of his time, and with them, cataloged and studied the nebulae and galaxies as had never been done before. For his accomplishments, he was knighted by English royalty. His name was Sir William Herschel, and he died this day, August 25th, 1822. Commenting on the grandeur of the heavens, Sir William Herschel stated, "The undevout astronomer must be mad."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
This is At Home with Bella, encouraging parents, educating their children at home.
Hi, Mom and Dad. You're now considering homeschooling your child, but you don't know where to start, right? Well, one of the first things you could do is to connect with homeschooling families in your area, and there are a few ways you can do this. If you are a churchgoer, you can contact the pastor or the church office and ask them to refer you to homeschooling family. Another way is to call or visit the school district in your area. They could help you connect with homeschooling families too. Also, the local homeschooling co-op is another way to meet with families who have started on this mission, and the internet is a good way to get this contact info. You can also contact me for help in getting started with homeschooling. I would be delighted to come alongside you as you prayerfully consider going on this exciting journey. God bless you.
Bella is an educator who has been home educating her children for 20 plus years through Gamaliel School. She lives in the Philadelphia area. For more on At Home with Bella or for homeschooling help, contact Bella at bellavictor.com.
And in my heart I know that this good day, it is a gift from you. The world is.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty. And we have a wonderful guest with us this morning, Loman Henry. So wonderful to have you with us here from American Journal, Radio Journal, and Lincoln Journal.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Loman, without further ado, we need to talk about that budget. And you said this is a big day. Well, I couldn't please.
It is a big day. As I'm sure your listeners are aware, the state budget, well, it isn't. The Republicans in the legislature did pass an on-time balanced state budget, and it was promptly vetoed in whole by the governor, which surprised a lot of folks because there was really agreement on about 80% of it. But the governor, who can line item veto, which is pick the parts of it he wants to say no to and leave the others in place, did not do that. He just vetoed the whole thing. Today, the House of Representatives is scheduled to go back into session. House Speaker Mike Terzai is planning to run a series of override votes. And he's going to take those parts of the budget upon which there has been widespread agreement, and he's going to put up an override vote. Now, the problem is the Democrat leadership in the state house is saying, as they every time Republicans come up with a solution, the Democrats' stock answer is it's a political stunt. Well, you know, it's not a political stunt. The governor initially had said, I want my budget voted on as a whole. You know, he laid out his budget. He said, I don't want any changes. None of the parts can be removed or changed. I want it voted on exactly as I presented it. So Republicans in the House put it up exactly as he presented it. It received zero votes, no Republican or Democrat.
Zero.
You know, and whereupon the governor claimed that he had, that Mike Terzai had engaged in a political stunt. Well, he did exactly what the governor asked him to do.
So often the accusers are doing that which they accuse others of doing.
Well, that's all the governor has done since the veto occurred back the 1st of July. The Democrats have simply engaged in a political campaign, doing mailings into legislative districts, blasting Republican legislators, holding press conferences, attacking Republicans. There really has been no serious effort by the governor or the Democrats at negotiating a settlement. The governor basically has said, it's my way or the highway. Well, Republicans are in a majority. He doesn't even have support from his own caucus for all the spending he wants to do. It's simply not going to happen. Not in July, not now, not ever, not never. It's not going to happen. So until the governor realizes that he's now governor and not a candidate for governor, this is going to continue. So in an effort to try to get things moving, Mike Terzai has called these override votes today because very soon the school districts are going to start needing their state money in order to pay their bills.
Right.
And the real problem is with a wide range of nonprofit organizations who depend on state contracts for their funding. And as you know, most nonprofit organizations, you don't have a lot of money sitting around. Mm-hmm. You're struggling a lot of times just to make payroll. So when that money doesn't come in a timely manner, you're immediately in financial crisis. And many organizations can't even go out and borrow money because they don't have the ability to do that. So we're now starting to hit a point where nonprofit organizations are feeling the pinch. School districts are soon going to feel the pinch. So Representative Terzai, Speaker Terzai, wants to put up an override vote so that these items can be approved, while the Democrats are saying they're not going to give him any votes. Now, it takes a two-thirds vote to override a veto. Republicans have big majorities, but not two-thirds. So the question today is, will some Democrats break ranks, join with Republicans to enact these parts of the budget that everybody agrees on, or will they play politics and say, no, we're not going to do that because we want the entire thing and we're not going to give in?
So what's the consensus on that, Lohman? Do you think that, you know, they're going to get serious? Are some of these Democrats vulnerable?
Well, some of them are very vulnerable, and particularly a number of Democrat representatives in western Pennsylvania represent districts where they could be vulnerable to a Republican challenge in the elections next year. So if any Democrats break ranks, I think it will come from western Pennsylvania, where, by the way, Democrats tend to be very conservative, unlike other parts, unlike Philadelphia Democrats, who are ultra-liberal. Democrats from western Pennsylvania sometimes are more conservative than Republicans are in Philadelphia. So we may be able to get a couple of votes. My personal feeling is it's unlikely that we'll get enough for an override and that the budget crisis will simply continue. Those Democrats who vote against the override are going to have to go back to their districts.
Some explaining, huh?
Well, yeah, explain to the nonprofits why you don't have money to run the homeless shelter because you voted against the money.
Right.
Or why your school might not open because you didn't vote for the override because you're playing politics with the budget. So Democrats are really, I think, in a very bad position here. And those parts of the budget that everybody agrees on should be enacted, and then we can get down to serious negotiation on the parts where we have disagreements.
What is the exact number that's needed for the two-thirds?
Two-thirds. Well, there are 201 members of the state legislature, so you would need about 75, about 100, about 160, 155, 160 votes. Mm-hmm. Republicans have 119 seats.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, then we would need about 30 Democrats to break ranks. I frankly don't see that happening. It should, because this is spending everybody agrees on. Why wouldn't we get it done and not put school districts and nonprofits in this situation, but right now the governor is saying he wants $4.5 billion in new spending. Republicans have already given him $1 billion in new spending, which many of us think is way too much to begin with.
Does the state have that money, Lohman?
No, we don't. That's the problem. To go with the $4.5 billion increase in spending is a massive tax increase, mm-hmm. Much higher than even that old Casey tax hike. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would just have massive new increases in sales taxes, increases in your personal income tax. And all of these tax increases are going to hit working families, they're going to hit small businesses, right. They're going to hit seniors. Right. It's just, with the weakness in the economy, which we've really seen in the last few days with what's happened with the markets, it's not the time to be raising taxes on working families and small businesses.
Is that message getting through, or are you able to help them to see that, this is reality. Why isn't that message getting through?
The governor exists in a world with a different reality. and I don't say that, to be offensive to him. It's that if you stop to think about how he became governor, he ran in a multi-candidate Democrat primary that had some very left-wing candidates in it, like Alison Schwartz, the former congresswoman. So in order to win that primary, first of all, he put up $10 million of his own money, which helped a lot. But he had to move to the left of these other candidates in order to win. Rob McCord, who was the state treasurer at the time, now the convict Rob McCord. But the corruption's a whole other issue that we could get into. But, the governor really appealed to that ultra-left wing of the Democrat Party. He brought in Katie McGinty and John Hanger as his chief of staff and as his top policy person, two of the most left-wing public policy advocates in the Commonwealth, and he just went way off to the left. In the meantime, Republicans elected the most conservative legislature we've ever had. So now we're at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Do you know, are the citizens staying on their reps, communicating with them, letting them know, don't budge on this, don't spend money that doesn't exist?
Every legislator I've talked to, their phone calls and letters into their offices are running about 10-1 opposed to the governor's budget and urging them to hold the line on taxes and spending.
Well, that's good news.
People just don't want it.
Right.
Well, who wants to pay more in taxes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to abide by the law. We have budgets. We get to a point where, we say, well, we might want this, that, or the other, but it's not there, so we say no.
Well, and that's where government is different. They think in government, they say, this is what we want to spend, and then they tax accordingly, mm-hmm. as opposed to saying, this is what we have, and we're going to make the budget fit what we have, like we do.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation, and there are many more things we'd like to cover with Lohman Henry, our very special guest this morning. So please stay with us. After the news break at the bottom of the hour, we'll be back to talk more about the budget and other things that are happening here in Pennsylvania and across the country with Lohman Henry. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Lift my voice, sing a song of praise on this good day.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. An hour before the opening bell on Wall Street, Dow futures are up 526 points after yesterday's worldwide stock market drop.
The main index in Shanghai closing down 7.6%. Japan's Nikkei index also down. China now attempting to calm the situation by cutting interest rates. Some analysts say the government hasn't done enough so far, with investors concerned the Chinese economy is losing momentum faster than had been expected.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. A pro race car driver has died after being hit in the head.
British driver Justin Wilson was in a coma after being hit by a piece of debris when another driver slammed into the wall during an IndyCar race Sunday at the Pocono Motor Speedway in Pennsylvania. He died Monday night of head injuries at a hospital in Allentown.
Fox News Radio's Jane Metzler. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 talents warns us that not investing the master's talents because of fear is wrong. Doing nothing can be a sin.
So what are the consequences of doing nothing?
In this parable, the first thing we see is that the Lord is not pleased. The one talent is taken away and given to the one that has 10 talents. Finally, the unprofitable servant is cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow, that sounds harsh.
It certainly does. Now, none of us is a perfect steward, but if you feel like you are just coasting along and it's time to make some changes, please call our office at 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
It's time to begin planning for the holidays. Hi, I'm Dennis Gaiman with Gaiman Design Remodeling. If you recall thinking last year that you need more room before you host Thanksgiving or Christmas this year, now is the time to start planning. Kitchens, bathrooms, room additions, great rooms, tearing down walls, structural improvements, all these kinds of things take time and planning. Contact us at 215-513-0300 or online GaimanRemodeling.com. It's GEHMAN. Remodeling.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
An English astronomer, he became world-renowned for his discovery of the planet Uranus. He was noted for his recognition of double stars. Using the technology of the late 18th century, he constructed the greatest reflecting telescopes of his time, and with them, cataloged and studied the nebulae and galaxies as had never been done before. For his accomplishments, he was knighted by English royalty. His name was Sir William Herschel, and he died this day, August 25, 1822. Commenting on the grandeur of the heavens, Sir William Herschel stated, "The undevout astronomer must be mad."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back, everyone, to It's a New Day here on 1180 WFYL, Working for Your Liberty. I'm Susan Locke, joined with Kim Kennedy, Hal Locke in the studio, Russell Orlers at the board, and our very special guest this morning is Loman Henry, who is Chairman, CEO of the Lincoln Institute, and a wealth of information. We want to invite you to call in if you have any questions. The call-in number here would be 610-539-TALK, that's 8255. 610-539-TALK. And speaking of calling, he was just telling us about the budget. Today is the day for a scheduled override vote of Governor Wolf's veto of the budget, and a good number of Democrats would have to vote for it. So this is the day to call them, too.
Yep. If you have a Democrat state representative or senator and you want to see the budget overridden and passed, then you should give him a call, because otherwise this budget crisis is going to go on for heaven knows how long. There appears to be no give by the governor. We were actually talking during the break. The proposed tax increase that the governor has put in this budget is larger than the proposed tax increases that governors have put forth in all 49 other states combined. So if you totaled up all the spending increases in all 49 other states, what the governor is proposing here in Pennsylvania is more in just one state. That's how far out of line it is.
And Loman, we were talking about if we can do a health checkup on the state of Pennsylvania, what grade would you give it and why?
In terms of state spending, I would give it a D. And for business climate, it would be maybe a D minus or an F plus. And what we found, we do at the Lincoln Institute twice every year. We've done it now for over 20 years. We do a survey, our Keystone Business Climate Survey. And we survey the owners or chief executive officers of businesses all over the state. So these are the people who are actually engaged in doing business, not researchers, not secondhand, the people who are making things happen. Interestingly, of course, if you go back to 2008, 2009, when the economy went into a tank and we went into the Great Recession, of course, the business climate outlook really plummeted in Pennsylvania. It was bad to begin with, but it really went down to the lowest points that we've ever seen, even lower than after the September 11, 2001 terror attacks. It remained mired there until last fall. Last October, when we released last year's poll, for the first time since the Great Recession, more business owners said that they felt the economy was getting better in Pennsylvania than felt it was getting worse. Now, it was only by a percent or so, so it wasn't a lot, but I thought it was significant that after 4 years of Corbett economic policies, the business climate had improved to the point where more people actually thought we were moving in the right direction. And this hadn't happened in a very long time. Well, then we did our poll in March of this year, and we saw the biggest flip-flop in those numbers that we've ever seen. It went from marginally moving in the right direction to strongly moving in the wrong direction.
And Lohman and Susan and Al, you know, a lot of people still cling to these ideas that these are greedy business people and they just want to keep all their money for themselves. And
that's the propaganda.
Yes. And you have to be profitable. And, you know, we don't mean to be insulting here. We think that that's an obvious, but it's not. Is that a part of what you do, is educating people about business and why it's necessary and how it creates jobs, et cetera?
Well, we try to tell people that business is us. A business is your neighbor, perhaps the person who runs the nail salon at your local shopping center, the guy who runs your local pizza shop. They're business owners, and they're not making a lot of money. After, you know, they're putting their money and their capital at risk, and they're employing people. At the end of the day, a lot of small business owners are lucky to be making $40,000, $50,000, maybe $60,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So if you start raising taxes on them, they're either going to have to start laying people off or cutting hours or take a pay cut themselves. And for some people, they simply can't afford to do that. Now, yeah, there are big businesses. And people tend to focus on the giant corporations and say, well, McDonald's is a greedy corporation. Well, McDonald's is not only just a corporation, but it has franchisees who maybe own one, two, or three McDonald's restaurants who are small business owners. So if you talk about, say, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, they can't do that because they can't make a profit. And if they can't make a profit, they're going to lay people off, cut hours, or what McDonald's is experimenting with right now is automating their order-taking system, so they'll do away with all those jobs. So you have to look at what the consequences are of these tax hikes. And in Pennsylvania, businesses, we hear two things. The taxes are too high relative to other states, and the regulatory climate in Pennsylvania is horrendous. We put so many regulations on businesses that it costs them money to comply. A lot of times, they won't expand. Now, of course, this is a national phenomenon at the moment, but there's an enormous amount of capital sitting on the sidelines because folks just don't want to put it at risk. And particularly at the national level, as long as Obama is president, businesses are not going to go out. The Environmental Protection Agency just put a whole new layer of regulations upon manufacturers. And, of course, manufacturing jobs are usually some of the best jobs that there are. Mm-hmm. So these policies do have an impact, and we were making progress under Governor Corbett, but the proposals put forth by Governor Wolf would take us backward. It would set us back at least a decade in Pennsylvania.
Mm. Well, we have to think about that one. And I don't know if you get into this, but you bring up the EPA, and Lohman, from the things that I read from legitimate organizations, is a lot of the things they say are based on suspect information. Would you agree with that?
very suspect information. You can start out with a whole argument over climate change. Remember, it was global warming. Now it's climate change because there's some evidence.
Cold winters.
Yeah, we had some areas that it's actually getting colder rather than warmer. And we all agree that the climate changes. it's changed forever. Why would we expect it to stay the same? But really, what the whole climate change debate is, and what the EPA is all about, it's not really affecting the climate. It's about expanding government control over businesses.
Exactly.
And this administration in Washington has set a world record for just expanding regulations using executive orders. And all it does is it causes businesses to say, we're not going to go out there. We're not going to invest. And that's why this recession that has been really lingering now for 8 years.
It doesn't need to be like this, but it's man-made, don't you think?
It's a man-made recession. We should be in boom times. If you look at the energy discoveries that we've had in this country, the energy sector alone could lift us out of recession. But this administration keeps putting regulations on that make drilling next to impossible. We haven't built any refineries in decades because nobody can get through the regulatory rules in order to do it. The Keystone XL pipeline is not being built. Here in Pennsylvania, the governor keeps wanting to put new taxes on the Marcellus Shell industry, on top of the fact that they already pay every other tax that everybody else pays, and they pay an impact fee, which nobody
else
pays.
That's really important. That was brought out on your program and also with Stephanie Wissman, who was on
us
earlier.
Stephanie is great. She does a great job.
Yeah, I think people don't understand that they are paying these taxes.
Well, and that's the spin that the governor and the Democrats have put on it, is that, here you have this industry and it's not paying its fair share. Well, okay, number one, they're paying every tax that everybody else pays, so which is already above the national average. And this impact fee, unfortunately, Governor Corbett, when he ran for governor, he signed Grover Norquist's no tax increase pledge. So he didn't want to call the impact fee a tax. It really is a severance tax or an impact tax. The Corbett administration did put a new tax on the Marcellus Shell industry. He just didn't call it that. So if we just simply call a tax, we're already doing it. So now they pay everything everybody else pays. They pay this impact tax, which nobody else pays. And now the governor wants to add another tax. And this at a time when the price of natural gas and oil has really taken a nosedive, so the industry is sort of retracting to begin with.
Right.
So if it's retracting to begin with and you add taxes on it, all you're going to do is push it out of existence. And the argument is, well, the gas and the oil is in the ground. They can't take it anywhere. They can't take it anywhere, but they can sure cap it and go elsewhere where they can make more money, which is what they're doing.
It's so crazy. Doesn't make any sense. It really is. It's like you said, it's backwards thinking. It's it's not grounded in reality. I don't understand the thinking there, or should we say non-thinking. Just more and more, Loman, what you're painting a picture of is people who can't be reasoned with, people you try to present facts to and have a reasonable discussion with, and there's like this closed down, just like mind shut, heart shut. And it's scary stuff.
If you look at all these votes, Kim, that have taken place in the legislature, in Pennsylvania's legislature, there hasn't been one single Democrat senator or representative deviate from the party line in the last 4 or 5 years on any key vote. Not a single one. Republicans, we do periodically lose a group of Republicans. We unfortunately have some legislators, largely in the Philadelphia suburbs, who are under the sway of the public sector labor unions, who frequently will break ranks with Republicans, which is why we didn't get more accomplished under Corbett. That has changed a lot in the last couple of years, but now we don't have the governor. So.
Well, that's something we should talk about in the next segment.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
So we will be coming back right after this break to continue this discussion with Loman Henry, who is the executive director of the Lincoln Institute.
The world is turning in its place because you made it to lift my voice, sing a song of praise on this good day.
everybody. This is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor's Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking. Plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today. Right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Before me, and in my heart I know that this good day.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. We're so happy to have you with us this morning and enjoying our wonderful discussion here with Loman Henry, who is the chairman and CEO of the Lincoln Institute out in Harrisburg. So happy to have you with us, Loman.
It's a very, very good pleasure to be here.
If you have any questions for Loman, you can call us at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Let's pick it up where we left off, Ken.
All right. Loman, and it just occurred to me that if there are listeners, we have a lot of self-employed folks listening, mm-hmm. and if they haven't heard of the Lincoln Institute, where should they go to find out more information?
Our website is lincolninstitute.org, and if they go to lincolninstitute.org, they can find out all about us, read our polling, read information on our focus groups that we conduct. From there, you can link over to hear a podcast of our two radio programs, Lincoln Radio Journal and American Radio Journal. We also maintain a website, patownhall.com. And patownhall.com is a one-stop shop. If you're interested in what's happening in public policy in Pennsylvania, we do mix in some national information as well. It's not an accumulator website where we put links to other publications, newspapers, and the like. It's where we post original work by groups and by authors, and we have about 24, 25 of them that contribute. So if you want to find out what the latest is from the Lincoln Institute or the Commonwealth Foundation or NFIB or PMA or anybody, if you go to patownhall.com, you can see all that work accumulated there. And from that point, if you want more information, you can link over to those organizations' websites. So
That's great. I'm glad to know about that as well. And I know that you strongly advocate citizens being involved in the process.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the ways that we do that, another project that we have is the annual Pennsylvania Leadership Conference.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
And you all have been big supporters of it in recent years. You've been down to the last several of them. We have it in Harrisburg. For your listeners, probably are familiar with CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference every year in Washington. This is a state-level version of that. We've been doing it now for 26 years. It's the largest state-level conservative conference in the country. We have it down at the Radisson Penn Harris right outside of Harrisburg. Next year, it's going to be April 1st and 2nd. And, of course, it's a presidential election year. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really talked presidential politics, but it's starting to look like we won't be down to only one candidate by the time Pennsylvania's primary occurs, which is the end of April. Mm-hmm. So we are thinking that with the leadership conference the 1st of April, we might still have three or four presidential contenders still duking it out. And so this could become a very, very interesting conference because clearly those back in 2012, the presidential candidates came to the conference. We would expect to have them again. So and that's just a way for people to get involved. We have about 50 different groups and organizations that exhibit. So if you want to be an activist or you are an activist, it's a great way to be among fellow activists, first of all. It's one of the few times a year where you're not on the defensive in a large group of people. And you can just learn how to get involved. There are great speakers. There are workshops that teach you how to communicate, how to be effective. And you can pretty much find your way anywhere you want to go at that event. So,
do you encourage students to participate in that process?
We very much do. And students, we have a scholarship program for students. If you are at the college or university level, junior or senior in high school, and you're a student and you would like to attend, if you go to our website, which is paleadershipconference.org, and you can also access it from lincolninstitute.org. If you're a student and you want to come, money's an issue, we will certainly provide a scholarship to you for the registration fee, and that way you can attend, because we want to get young people involved.
Yes.
They are the future of the country. And it's very, very difficult to get this so-called millennial generation involved, because a lot of young people are used to sitting on their cell phones and doing Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all those other things. They don't go out. They don't go out and go to political events. We see this all across the spectrum. They don't join Rotary and Lions clubs. They don't help out at the volunteer fire department. They don't go to church. They do everything electronically. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do is to try to get people out from behind that screen and get them interacting with people, because we've got to get this next generation integrated into the process.
That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. That, we would be in 100% agreement with that.
So, and like I say, the conference will be April 1st and 2nd. And we're working on our featured speaker. I can't tell you who it is yet because we don't have a signed contract, but we're
pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
Loman, we're picking up from people of all stripes and ages, is the sentiment of discouragement has set in, and
yep.
We're telling people don't sit this one out. How important it is. How can people get involved and feel like they're making a difference?
Well, this is what happened in the presidential race 4 years ago. Large numbers of individuals, and unfortunately, large numbers of evangelical conservatives sat out the election because they were dissatisfied with both selections. The problem with that is we got the worst of, in my view, the worst of the two selections. Was not real thrilled with Mitt Romney, but everything is relative. This time around, if you look at what's happening in the presidential race, and it's happening on both ends of the spectrum, Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist, is pulling huge crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the left is dissatisfied with where mm-hmm. we are. On the other side, you see Donald Trump almost filling a stadium, 30,000 people in Alabama last week. So the people, and Donald Trump and Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina are the three Republicans who are getting traction and showing growth. They're all outsiders. Mm-hmm. So already the electorate is saying to us, look, things are not going well. We don't like the direction we're going. We're going to go with someone, anyone, who can do something different. Even if it's wrong, do something different, because what we're doing now is not working. So, yeah, this coming year, the opportunity to get involved, and I always preach to people that your local governments are where you need to get involved because that's where you can make the biggest difference. So this year, of course, there are races for township supervisor and school board and county commissioner, and folks can easily get involved in those. Those candidates are always looking for volunteers. And, of course, the presidential election, that pulls a lot of people in who might otherwise not be interested. So you can go to your county headquarters and volunteer for the presidential election. We'll be electing state senators and House members next year. And as we've seen from our budget talk, who you elect in the House and Senate makes a very big difference.
Yes, it does.
If they go down to Harrisburg and they vote for higher taxes and more spending, it's going to come out of your wallet. So you better be careful who goes there.
And what about judges, Loman?
Well, that's a whole that's probably a whole show in and
yes,
of itself.
Yes, indeed.
The judicial branch is often ignored. This year we have a race for Supreme Court, three seats on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Never happened before that we've had three up at the same time. We don't have time to go into how that occurred. Suffice it to say that reform is needed at that level and the whole way down. But three seats on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, it will decide really the direction of the court for the next 10 years.
Wow. So this is definitely not the time to sit it out.
No. If you go to the polls for no other reason in November, go to vote for your Supreme Court justices. And there's also a Commonwealth and Superior Court seat up as well. These folks get paid almost no attention to, but they're a third of the government.
Wow.
So it's important.
Can information be found out about all of this at patownhall.com as well?
We don't really have candidate information on any of our websites, but you can go to your respective party, like pagop.org.
Okay.
Has information on all the Republican candidates.
Okay. Well, thank you for the encouragement. We all need it, and for those who are listening, fight the good fight. People like Loman Henry are in Harrisburg doing a lot of work on behalf of the working citizen, the working business person. And we appreciate all that he does. Susan, I know you do too.
We really do. And we thank you for being here today to share this information with our listeners. Loman, thank you. You've been listening to Loman Henry, the CEO of Lincoln Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful day.
Cause you made it to lift my voice, sing a song of praise.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no obligation.